discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God does not change. And that is the life that we have received. It says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything He is, that is why He told Abraham, He said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave Himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God Himself.
Listen to Pastor Oti Boateng as Christ is magnified in you.
Hallelujah. Can you give Jesus a bigger shout? Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this morning. We are grateful. We are thankful. Dear Holy Spirit, speak to us in another way, Lord. Bring us into deeper revelations of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Help us understand Him even more and more. Help us understand who He is and what He has accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have granted to us in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Thank you that the eyes of our understanding is enlightened this morning, flooded with light. Thank you that we have a deeper understanding of Christ's love for us, and therefore we are filled with all the fullness of God this morning. Thank you for blessings untold, for glory untold. Thank you for miracles, signs, and wonders. Thank you for blessings and favor like never before. Thank you that our intimacy with you is taken to another level altogether this morning through your word and through your spirit, even in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You may kindly take your seats in heavenly places. How many of you were blessed yesterday? Wow. So today I'm continuing what I was. Yes, I'm continuing. I stayed over to continue. Yes. The rest can watch it on YouTube when they are ready to watch it. Hallelujah. So I'm still sharing on grace and faith. The surest way of living in Christ. The surest way. Grace and faith. The surest way of living in Christ. So that's what I'm still sharing on. Hallelujah. Thank you all for making yesterday a reality. I think we had our largest gathering in Kumasi since our church started yesterday. It's something to celebrate God for. It's historical. We had almost 3,000 people on grounds. I don't think we've ever had that in Kumasi. Yes, we've never had that in Kumasi. In Accra, we had almost 4,000 people gathering on grounds, but in Kumasi we've never had that before. So I want you to clap for yourselves. We appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you for making it happen. Yes. Normally a lot of people, you know, I don't joke with those who help me. My helpers are very important to me. Yes. I have one of my greatest aims in life is to make sure that those who help me are very comfortable, and those who help me have the best. Okay? Yeah. So I don't joke with my helpers at all. So I want to appreciate all of you, Pastor Colby, everybody, Pastor Eugene, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Pastor Bright, Pastor, all the pastors, all the branch pastors, every shepherd, every media guy, all my media people. Charlie, I appreciate you, but you have no idea. I love you very much. I don't play with you. I may not mind you much, but Sally, you are deep in my heart. I tell you, hallelujah. Thank you for traveling with me all over the place and making things happen. I'm grateful to God for your lives. Hallelujah. Let's clap for ourselves once again. Thank you. You may kindly take your seats in heavenly places. So grace and faith, the surest way of living in Christ. So we started from Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 yesterday. Remember I said I was going to mention I was going to talk about six of the things, what grace is. Do you remember? Uh-huh. So yesterday I just did two. I'll try and do two here today, maybe do two somewhere in the future. Okay, so as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him. It's so important that we understand how we have received Christ. How did we receive Christ? We received Christ by faith, by grace through faith. Okay, he says how we received him is how we should continue to walk, to live. If you try to live by works, you will have a problem. Have you noticed that whenever you announce how many hours you have prayed, you are unable to do it again? Have you noticed? Whenever you announce that you fasted 3 days, you see that you are unable to do it again. Has it happened to you before? Or it hasn't happened to you before. It's happened to you before. It just goes on because God doesn't. Works is a problem. Works puts you under the curse. Galatians chapter 3. Let's read verse 11. Galatians 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, or no man is made righteous by works in the sight of God. It is evident. Then it says, the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. So look at this. It says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Can you imagine that the phrase, the just shall live by faith, is actually those who are righteous by faith shall live. You see, yesterday I was talking about righteous, how we are righteous by faith in Jesus Christ, isn't it? So that particular phrase, the just shall live by faith, is in reference to those who are righteous by faith are the ones who truly live, in this life. You want to live, you need to understand that you are righteous by faith. Then verse 12, look at verse 12. It says, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. The law is not of faith. The law has nothing to do with faith. You see, the law is not of what? Faith. The law is not of faith. The law is not of faith. Works removes faith altogether. Amplified. Pastor says you read Amplified. Verse what? Verse 11. What I want to say is actually verse 10, but you let me just read it. It says, it is evident that no person is justified or declared righteous and brought into right standing with God through the law. For the scripture says, the man in right standing with God, that is the just, the righteous, shall live. You see, that's what I was talking about. The man who is in right standing with God, that's the just, the righteous, shall live by and out of faith. And he who through and by faith is declared righteous and in right standing with God shall live. Have you seen it? The one who is declared righteous or have been right standing with God by faith is the one who shall live. That's what it means. The just shall live by faith means that the righteous by faith are the ones who shall live, who shall really enjoy the life of God. The way to enjoy the life of God is to remember that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus by your faith in Jesus Christ. Please, you understand what I'm saying? Now, the next verse says that the law does not rest on faith. It does not require faith. It has nothing to do with faith. The law has nothing to do with faith. When you decide to please God by your works, what you have decided to do is that you don't want to do it by faith. And guess what? Anything that is not of faith is sin. Romans chapter 14. Last verse of Romans chapter 14. Can you show it to us? Is it Romans 17 or 14? Romans 14. There's no Romans 14, last verse, 23. Romans 14, 23. Can you read this one to me? And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is what? And the law is not of faith. So what is the law equal to? Trying to do it by the law, or trying to do it by works, you are swimming in sin, I tell you. You can't help yourself. It's not going to work. I don't know if I'm making sense. Yes, it can't work. Now, look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. Galatians 3, 10. The problem with the law is that anyone who tries to, it says, for as many as are of the works of the law, anyone who is of the works of the law,
are under the curse.
Have you seen it?
So trying to do it by the law puts you straight under a curse. The law of the curse. As many as are off any appearance of works in your life, puts you under the curse. You can't do it. You will keep failing and failing and failing. Yes. And when you fail, it's a curse that's because you are trying to do it by the law. And you are under the law. And because you are putting yourself under the law, the curses of the law that comes when you break the law is what will come to you, which includes sickness and poverty. When you break it, when you fail in one, you have failed in all. And this one, you say, any appearance of works is a problem. You are putting yourself under the law. Rather, you should be asking the Holy Spirit to help you live the way He wants you to live. You should be asking the Holy Spirit to help you fast. Not fasting to please the Holy Spirit, to let you the Holy Spirit know that you are a boss, you are a gargantuan spiritual power. You are Mama Oja or Papa Oja. It doesn't work. You are fasting, so you are what? You are fast. Fast to rather get close to God. Fast to know what the Lord wants for you. Fast to fast to rather become more intimate with God. Okay? Not so that God will see how good you are or how spiritual you are. Your spirituality cannot beat God's spirituality. It cannot be impressive to God. Whatever you are doing is not impressive to God. And God doesn't bless you based on what you are, what your fasting or your praying or your this. No. The flesh cannot impress Him at all. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying you didn't fast though. Did I say you shouldn't fast? Did I say you shouldn't pray? I didn't say anything. I have not said that. I said you should fast with the mindset that you are getting intimate with God. Not with the mindset that that is what is qualifying you before God so that you can ask for things from God. So that when you pray, your prayers will be answered. No. Your prayers are answered and you are accepted because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, not because of your fasting. Your fasting and your praying is to help you understand what Jesus has done on the cross for you. The reason why we fast and pray is for the purpose of curing unbelief and for the purpose of revelation. Fasting and prayer is mainly for the purpose of revelation, mainly for the purpose of light, understanding of God's word. That is the main purpose of fasting and prayer. Please believe it. Please what? Tell me, but please believe it. Yes. That's the main purpose of fasting and prayer. And another purpose of fasting and prayer is to help your flesh go down so that God's work and God's word can function in your life as it's supposed to. That's all. But it doesn't give you right standing before God. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, curse is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So try. Don't go along those lines. Receive grace, rather. Yeah. I'm not saying you should receive grace. I'm just saying that. Rather receive. Every morning when you wake up, you declare a righteous. Father, thank you that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have grace to read my Bible. I have grace to pray. I have grace to fast. I have grace to do all the things that I'm supposed to do. Thank you that you are empowering me to do all that you want me to do in the name of the Lord Jesus. So you are doing the things not to qualify, but you are doing the things because you qualify. I already qualify. And because I qualify, these are the things that I do because this is how I live as one who has qualified before the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, you will do my commandments. You will keep my commandments. Because I love Jesus, I keep his commandments. I don't keep his commandments so that you will fall in love with me. I'm keeping his commandments because he loves me. Are you seeing the difference? It's very important or else you'll get confused. Hallelujah. So, the next definition of grace that I want to I want us to get into is how that grace is God's greatest expression of love and mercy for humanity through Christ Jesus on the cross. Okay? Grace is God's greatest expression of love and mercy. Okay? To humanity through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. Which we don't merit. Grace is God's work for us, which we don't merit. And God's work are in different categories. And that's what I'm trying to let you know. All the work of God is called grace. All that God did for us that we did not merit. Okay? It's called what? Grace. And one of the major things is God's love expressed to us by his giving of his son, Jesus Christ, to you and I. We didn't even, who will give? Will you die for someone who is not correct? How many of you will die for someone who is not correct? You will die for someone who is not correct. You know what I mean? It's in the Bible. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 verse 7. Look at Romans 5 verse 7. Let's read NLT. NLT. Can you read it to me? One to go. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. I mean, it's like, you may not. Even for a righteous, a good, an upright person, you will not be willing to die. Tale, dying for another is a very wild thing. I don't know if I will be ready to die for my wife. I don't know if she's ready to also die for me. Hey, it's a very serious thing. We are talking about dying. You won't come back. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hey, it's very serious. Scarcely. It's not suicide. They are killing you in place of this person. They are coming to do anything they want to do to you, to kill you, so that another person will be saved. You may not be able to do it. You may not be able to do it. You may not be able to do it. Knowing how they are going to kill you, they are going to pluck your eyes, pluck your tongue, cut your ears one by one with blade. This is what message says. We can understand someone dying for a person we're dying for. And we can understand how someone good and noble could inspire us to selfless sacrifice. I mean, it can happen. Next verse. But God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatever to him. No use whatever. No use whatever. You were of no use whatever. God, that's how God expresses his love for us. So grace is God expressing his love for you and I by giving us his best, his son, to come and die for you and I, so that you and I can be brought close to him. Hey, if God has done that, why do you think that something you do or do not do will make him love you more or less? Next verse. Go back to Romans chapter. We don't understand how much God has loved us. That's why when you were of no use, he came. Now that you're of use to him, he's going to cast you away. Oh, brother, I'm surprised. So the next verse says it. Can you read it together? Let's read it together. One to go. Now that we are set right with God by means of this sacrificial death, the consummate blood sacrifice, there is no longer a question of being at odds with God in any way. You don't see him, or you know they see him. Is it now that we are set right with God? Now that we are righteous, the word set right is righteous. Is it now that when we are of no use to him, he came to die? Hallelujah. Oh, but you love Jesus. Are you seeing how gracious God has been to you? Yeah, he expressed his grace to us by giving us his best. Yes, when we were of no use, no use, no use. I mean, I don't know, we think too much. Christians think too much. about how God is like, God doesn't like me because I did this or I did that or I did this or I did that. Before you were born again, you were doing a lot of foolish things. Am I lying? You didn't have enough wisdom to do any nice thing. The Lord liked you when you were not correct. He loved you when you were not correct. Now that you have been born again and the Lord is, you have become a righteous, is it now that the Lord will say, you did something, so go away, I don't want to see you? No. The blood of Jesus covered for you once and for all, forever. You need to believe it. You need to what? You need to believe it. You need to believe it. You see, the very foundation of society is built on do good, get good. If you do good, you do for yourself. If you do bad, you do for yourself. If you do good, you do for yourself. If you do bad, you do for yourself. And that is the foundation of humanity's living. That's humanity. That's how the world works. And you don't go to university and then they pass you for not doing any exam. If you don't do the exam and pass the exam, they are not going to pass you. You go to the school for 7 years. When I was in school, when I was in first year, there was a guy in school who had gone to school for, was it 7 years or something like that? 7 or 8 years. He was in Katanga Hall. He had gone to school. He was not finishing. First degree, he couldn't finish. Yeah, he was still writing exams and doing all kinds of things. Yeah, I remember him very well. He had become older in the whole system. You see, if you don't qualify, you are not going to be rewarded. You need to qualify. You need to do the things you're supposed to do, or else you will not be granted the reward. It's the same at work. In the work environment, you need to do all the things. You need to do all the KPIs, keep whatever. If you don't qualify, your promotion is not coming for you. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, promotion is not coming for you. That same thing is in our religion. Religion is the same thing. It's the same way. Religion says that you need to do A, B, C, D in order to qualify before God. All religions are based on that. But there was a day when a man came who did all the good in this world. His name is Jesus Christ. He did all the good you can think about and got all the bad you can think about. What wrong did Jesus do to deserve the beatings, deserve the crucifixion, deserve the rejection? He didn't do anything bad. In him was no sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. Nobody could blame him of sin. And yet he was treated like the basest of criminals. The crucifixion was for those who were the last in society, the slave of slaves. He was crucified naked. They beat him to a pulp. They did all the bad things they could do to him, even though he was good and had done only good things. One day he asked the people, I did many good things for you. Which one of them are you stoning me for? Then they said, of a good work, we stone you not. Because they knew that he was a good guy. They said that we are not stoning you because you've done some good. We know you are good. But because you being a man, you are making yourself equal with God. So they could all confirm. Jesus asked them, which one of you convinces me of sin? You can't easily say that. I can't say that before you and say that. How many of you can convince me of sin? Hey, me, I know that I have problems. You know, me too, I know. We are all, why are you looking at me like that? You have problems, don't you have problems? Already we are aware. The way you think is not correct. The way you look is not correct. The way you are, I mean, sometimes, Pastor Kobe was telling me about something yesterday. We went somewhere for a camp. I preached powerfully on gossiping. And how gossiping is not a good thing. We shouldn't gossip, whatever. We should say nice things about people. Right after the meeting, I preached very hot, 1 hour about it. When we were exiting, some two ladies were talking about another lady. Right after the meeting. It's not that this girl, she's so pretty, but look at her stomach. Her stomach has reduced her max. Her stomach is too big. They were just right after the message. Can you imagine? It shows how many errors we have. But this Jesus had no error. No error. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 22? That's why I mentioned it. Hebrews 7:22. 26. I hope I'm right. This one. For such an high priest became us, who is holy. Jesus is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. This is the one who came to sacrifice himself for you and I. He did all the good. He was a good person. He was a wonderful person. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Good guy. And he got all the bad. For what purpose? So that you and I, who are very bad, you know yourself. I also know myself. We know ourselves. It's like your neighbor is not, he doesn't know himself. Ask your neighbor, do you know yourself? We all look very good. We all look very nice. We all look very decent. We all look very put together. But enkoye, the mind is not so, the killer things that come into your mind. Man of God. Brother, put your man of God aside. We are all not correct. Only one person is correct. His name is Jesus Christ. And he was treated badly so that you and I, who are not correct, can be treated with all the good in this world. By Jesus sacrificing himself, he broke that fabric, that foundation of society of do good, get good. Do bad, get bad. He broke it because he was good and got all the bad. So that you who is bad can get all the good. Yeah. He's the end to the law to righteousness. Jesus is the end to the law to righteousness. Are you in the church? I think we should celebrate Jesus for what he has done. Hallelujah. So Jesus is God's expression of his great love for you and I. Okay? 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. This is love. Herein is love. Not that we love God. Not that we love God. But that he loved us. How did God love us? He loved us and sent his son to be the payment, to be the sacrifice of sin, to be the propitiation for our sins. The propitiation, the sin offering for us. That's so grace is God liking you so much, even though you don't deserve it. He loved you so much, he gave you his son, Jesus Christ. That's grace. The more you think about how much he has loved you, the more you receive it, the more you put your faith to work along that line, the more intimate you become with God. And the easier your life becomes. The easier your life become. You stop looking at yourself. You start looking at the one who loved you, even though you were not correct. Is it now that you are correct that he will cast you away?
Oh.
You remember we were reading Romans 8. We read Romans 8, 7. Romans 5, rather. Romans 5, 7. Then we read 8. Then we read 9. Do you remember? Yeah. Now that we are set right to God, this message, by means of the sacrificial death, the consummate blood sacrifice. There's no longer a question of being at odds with God in any way. Have you seen it? We are not at odds with God in any way. Next verse, verse 10. Then he says, can you read it together? One to go. If when we were at our worst, we were put on with God by the sacrificial death of his son, now that we are at our best, just think of how our lives will expand and deepened by means of his resurrection life. Yeah. Are you seeing it? Now that we are right, he says he has made us right. How? Now, think of how our lives will expand. Think of how our lives will deepen by means of his resurrection life. The resurrection life that we have now. Just think of how much joy we can have, how much blessings we can experience, how much glory we can experience. Just think about that. That's what he's talking about. Look at the next verse. It's so nice. Can we read it together? One, two, go. Now that we have actually received this amazing friendship with God, we are no longer content to simply say it in plodding prose. We sing and shout our praises to God through Jesus the Messiah. Have you seen it? The King James says it in a nicer way. Let's read 10 and 11 in King James. Let's want to go. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, We shall be saved by his life. Have you seen it? You shall enjoy salvation on all levels. Remember, salvation is not just being taken. It's not only being taken from hell or death to life. Salvation is also healing and health. The word salvation is from the Greek word soteria or sozo. Do you see? And it means to be brought into, to be delivered into health, blessings, prosperity, goodness, every good thing you can think about. Salvation is a package. It's not only an event. It's an event that comes with a package. So he's saying that if when we were enemies, we were reconciled. We were reconciled when we were enemies by the death of Jesus Christ. How much more now that we are reconciled, now that we are reconciled with God, now that we are at peace with God? He says we shall be saved. We shall experience all the blessings of healing, of health, of prosperity, of peace, of joy, of every good thing you can think about by his life, which is in us. Look at the next verse, verse 11. Then it says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. By him we have received the forgiveness of sins. Are you seeing it? Let's read 8 into 9. Can you read it to me? One to go. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved. We shall be saved from what? We shall be saved from wrath. All kinds of wrath. God is not angry with you and I anymore. Any kind of wrath. Some people, there are Christians who think that the rapture, they will not go. You can have a dream and Jesus has come and you didn't go. And the Antichrist is chasing you. It's because of your knowledge. NLT. Pastor says you read NLT. Let's read NLT. You like my message? Some people are sleeping. I'm wondering why they are sleeping. Sorry. Can you read it together? One to go. And since he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. Certainly. God does not condemn us anymore. Certainly, yeah. Let me show you some verses in Isaiah 54. Understanding his love for you. This is greatest, God's greatest expression of love. God is not angry with you. You can pray for the sick. No matter what has happened, you can pray for the sick. No matter what has happened, you can pray and request big from God. Because now you are on his favor grounds. That's the truth. Do you see? Yeah. Isaiah chapter 54. Let's read from verse 10. Isaiah 54 verse 10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. But my kindness, this is God talking. Isaiah 54 is after Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is the famous prophecy concerning Jesus' crucifixion and death. So Isaiah 54 is a reflection or an explanation of what happens after Jesus' death, burial and resurrection. He says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from you. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that has mercy on you. God has had mercy on you. I feel like going home. I don't know about you, but yeah. This is God. God says that my kindness I will not remove from you. The mountains shall not depart, shall depart. Even the mountains will be removed. And the hills will be removed. But my kindness for you, it will not be removed. My mercy for you will never be removed. Yeah. Neither shall my covenant of peace be removed, saith the Lord, that has had mercy on you. Next verse, verse 11. Oh, thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. In other words, now I'm going to beautify your life. God has brought you to a place where he beautifies your life. I don't know about you, but knowing that God, you are so much at peace with God that you are in a place where God beautifies your life, it's an exciting thing to know. Oh, I expect only one thing in my life. Glory alone. Beauty. Have I reduced since you got to know me?
Have I got down since you got to know me? I will never go down in my life. Why will I never go down in my life? Because Jesus paid for me. Jesus has brought me close to God. And I'm on favor grounds with God, where God decorates me. I will lay thy stones with perkalis and lay thy foundations with sapphires. Nice things, nice jewels, nice glorious things is what happens to me. No matter what happens, glory is what I expect. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Next, verse 12. And I'll make thy windows of agate and thy gates of carbuncle and all thy borders of pleasant stones. This is your life. This is your life. Say, this is my life. Yeah. Next verse. And all your children shall be taught of the Lord. So I'm not afraid that my children will lose their way. My children will be taught by God himself. My children will be taught by God. So my children cannot miss it. Why? Because of Jesus' sacrifice for me. Therefore, my seed will be taught by God himself. And great shall be the peace of my children. Are you saying it? So instead of worrying about your children, hey, what's going to happen to them? The world is becoming some way. My children are taught by God himself. By God himself. By God himself. What a blessing. And great shall be the peace of thy children. I tell you, they'll never be wounded in school. Never, never, never. Next verse. In righteousness shalt thou be established. It's important to establish in righteousness. Then it says, thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear. And from terror, for it shall not come near you. I don't know about you, but I think these are very nice things. Why are all these things coming to you? Go to verse 8. Isaiah 54, verse 8. He says, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. That's his love. Next verse. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. I will never, God says he will never be angry with you. Why? Because Jesus' sacrifice is like the waters of Noah. The judgment was put on the ark that they were in, the ark of Noah that they were in, is what bore the judgment. The rains that came, the flooding and all of that was hit. It hit the ark. It didn't hit the people who were inside the ark. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ bore the judgment for us, so that we will be safe. We will be preserved. And God says, because the judgment has already passed, I will never be angry with you again. But there's nothing that you can do that will get God to say, Kofi, what have you done? Kofi, you have shocked me. There's nothing you can do. Hey, do you like my message? Do you think Noah fell in the ark while the ark was going up? He would have fallen one or two. The people in the ark could fall because of the judgment that was going on. They could fall here and there. There would be some shaking here and there. But did they fall out of the ark? They were preserved. Why? Because they were in the ark. The ark is Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
You may fall as a child of God. You may have a problem as a child of God. But it happens in the ark. That is Christ. Wow. So, listen, God loves you so much. I don't know about you, but God loves you so much. God loves you so much. And you should receive his love. You should enjoy his love. Perfect love casts out fear. When you know how much he has loved you, all the fear of missing it. All the fear. You know, a lot of Christians live in the fear of missing it. They live in fear of not pleasing God. They live in fear. And because they are living in fear, they end up falling. And they end up having a problem. But if you are thinking about how much God has loved you and how much God has qualified you, if you think about it deeply and how much Jesus sacrificed on the cross for you, you will see that you are living the way God wants you to live. Yes, that's the way God wants us to live. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Do you understand this point? Grace is God's, the expression of God's greatest love to humanity through giving his son, Jesus Christ, to us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The more you think about his love, the more you love him. The more you love him, the more you keep his commandments. The more you keep his commandments, the more you serve him. That's the key.
The next point. I don't know if you like this point that... Oh, what a blessing. Can you imagine that his love has now made us sons and daughters? Yes. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. He loved us so much, now he's made us his sons and daughters. You should dwell on his love, the greatness of his love for you. It should change your life forever. Okay? All right, so the next one that I want to share with you is the grace of God is God dealing with our guilt and condemnation. The grace of God is God dealing with our guilt and condemnation through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. The grace of God is God dealing with our guilt and condemnation through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, which we do not merit, which humanity did not merit. Hallelujah. What a blessing. God is so... God is so keen on our intimacy with him. God is so keen on sharing his life with us so much. He doesn't want any breaks between our relationship with him and our fellowship life with him. He doesn't want any break. Tell me, but God doesn't want any break. God does not want to put his intimacy with you and I at stake in any way, in any form, at any point in time, no matter what has happened or not happened. Because of that, God made sure that Jesus died to take care of guilt and condemnation, which comes as a result of doing something wrong or not even doing anything wrong. Sometimes you do good and your conscience will tell you that you didn't do what you were supposed to do well. Your good is not good enough. Now, there was a problem. There was a problem when Adam fell. And that problem was conscience. The conscience, the human conscience, has a place of correcting man. It's an inward correction fluid. You may be keeping the law outwardly, but the inward conscience will let you know that you thought wrongly about this thing. You should have prayed more. You didn't pray as you're supposed to. And then it makes you feel bad, and you can't, it's like you can't relate with God in a certain way. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? Exactly. Those who were without the law were judged by their conscience. Their conscience brought them to judgment. That's the purpose of the conscience. Now, Jesus sacrificed himself as our sin, our trespass offering, or our guilt offering. You see, there was an offering for in the Old Testament. There was the sin offering. And then there was also guilt or trespass offering. Guilt and condemnation offering. Can you imagine that there was an offering to take care of your guilt and your condemnation? Guilt, yes. Guilt and condemnation. You're feeling bad. There's an offering for feeling bad. Yes. God did not want us to feel bad. So he provided an offering to make you not feel bad. And that offering of making you not feel bad is Jesus Christ. Do you understand? God doesn't want you to feel bad when something happens. Something has happened, so it's like now, God is not... There was a lady who... Sister Oja, very wild girl in the choir. She was singing beautifully. She was into the word, everything. A lot of nice things. And then she fell. Her boyfriend, she had sex with her boyfriend. She got pregnant. She did an abortion and all of those things. Because of what she couldn't come to church again. I'm not talking about this church, Joe. I'm talking about somewhere. Don't look at anybody in the choir. I'm talking about general. You are fine. If at this point you are judging, pointing fingers, then it means you've not understood what I've been preaching off as well. But this girl went off because her conscience was not giving her permission at all. You did this, you did that, you did this, you did that. And she kept going back and back, going farther and farther away from God. For 1 year, she couldn't go to church. 1 year she couldn't go to church because of what she had done. And she had gotten different friends who were not correct, and she had become more and more corrupt because of her conscience, because of what she had done. Her conscience was condemning her so much that she was pushed further and further into error, into sin. That's what condemnation, guilt and condemnation does to you. Guilt and condemnation pushes you further and further into error. The Bible says that your sin and your iniquities will I remember no more. Have you read that before? Romans chapter 10. Can you show it to me quickly, please? Sorry, like I said, Romans, Hebrews chapter 10. I think that's 16. Can you read it to me? One to go. Go back. Let's read 16 to 17. One to go. This is a covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. God says, your sins and your iniquities, will he remember? No more. So God does not remember. But your conscience will remind you. The devil will also remind you. But God does not remember. God says, I don't remember. Are you not seeing it? Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. It's the blessing of the New Testament. The blessing of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is for you not to remember your sins and your iniquities anymore. But the conscience specializes in reminding you. Now you have to specialize in telling your conscience that God does not remember, neither will I remember. I refuse to remember. Do you know why your conscience and the devil tries to remind you of your past wrongs? To push you further into it. So there are two reasons. One is that when you remember what you did, okay, depending on your state, it is either you feel so bad for what you did, you don't feel like praying anymore, you don't feel like talking to God anymore, you feel so dead, you don't want to come in the fellowship of the brethren. Meanwhile, we don't even know what has happened. Have you noticed? Nobody knows what, it's you who knows what has happened. You feel so bad, you don't want to come close. When you see a man of God, you dodge your pastor, you dodge. So the remembrance pushes you further and further and further away from anything God. That's one side. The other side is that the remembrance of your sin, the devil tries to remind you of your sin, to remind you of how nice it was. Why are you behaving like you don't know what I'm talking about? To remind you, that's why I said, depending on the state you are in, you see that it is either it is pushing you away or it reminds you of how nice it was and how it would be nice to go back to it. One more time. It doesn't remind you of how terrible you felt after. It rather reminds you of how nice it was. Do you remember the few seconds of niceness when you took the drug? You remember the high? Do you remember that one? So he reminds you of the taste, and then it takes you back to that thing. What you should specialize in is to let your conscience know that God has forgotten my sins and my iniquities. I will also not remember. I refuse to remember. I'm the righteousness of God. If any man be in Christ, the new creation, all things are passed away, including what I did. It's passed. I don't remember it anymore. In Jesus' name. Amen. The Old Testament sacrifices could not actually purge the people's conscience. They had a problem. So let me show it to you. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 8. This is very important. If you remember these things, it will really help you. It will really help you. Like I said, God doesn't want your intimacy with him to be cut short in any way, to go on a break at any time. He doesn't want that. He doesn't like it at all. It's dangerous for you. He doesn't want that, because when you are cut off, that's it. You are going to have some problems. Look at this. It's the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Then it says, in that first tabernacle of Moses, which was a figure of the time that then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service. It could not make the one who was sacrificing perfect as pertaining to the conscience. It couldn't perfect them as their conscience. So even though they were doing it, they were sacrificing, their conscience was not perfect. Was not perfected. So they could remember their sins. This was a problem of the the sacrifices of the old. And God didn't like it. God wants your conscience to be perfect. Can you imagine? God wants your conscience to be perfect. He doesn't want your conscience to condemn you in any way. He wants you to be able to address your conscience and say, my friend, keep quiet. Jesus died for me. You can't condemn me. Are you seeing it? Go to chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, 2, and 3. It's an amazing thing. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. It couldn't make them perfect. Why? Next verse. For them would they not have ceased to be offered? For them would they not have ceased to be offered? Would it have ceased to be offered? Because if he had made them perfect, then there's no need to offer again. Because that the worshippers once perished should have had no more conscience of sins. They shouldn't have had any more conscience of sins. But look at the next verse. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. Their conscience blamed them every year, throughout the year. They couldn't be made perfect. Guess what? When Jesus came, he did something. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus became our sacrifice for guilt. Our guilt offering. Not only our sin offering, but he became the sacrifice for our guilt. Isaiah chapter 53. You need these things, so it will help you. Or else one day you will do something, and the devil will tell you, this thing that you have done, that's it. There's no way. There's no way. He will tell you, kill yourself. Yeah, it's one of the major things that brings suicide. You are not good enough. What you did, God doesn't like it, whatever. Conscience will blame you before long you have done something you're not supposed to do. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10. I want us to read together, okay? Do you like what I'm preaching or you don't like it? Do you understand what I'm preaching to you? It's important too. Like I said, before you realize something has happened, okay? And it's like, hey, I am a shepherd. Look at what I have done. How could I have done this? You can't forgive yourself. And because you can't forgive yourself, before long, you are not in church anymore. Before long, you are enjoying foolish things. You are back into the world. You have become a drug addict. And the devil is reminding you of how nice it tastes and all of that, like I was telling you. And before long, you can't. God doesn't want that. And you end up in suicide, committing suicide, and that's it. God doesn't want that for you. God wants you not to feel bad, even if something should go wrong, so that you can keep on having intimacy with him. You fail. The fact that you fail does not mean that it is finished. The fact that you fail does not mean that it is finished. Even when you were not a Christian, God loved you. Is it now that you're a Christian that he will hold something against you so much that he doesn't want you to come close to him anymore? God doesn't want you to lose you. He likes you too much. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. So that no matter what happens, you will still continue with God. It's important too. It is important too. David had a problem. David committed adultery. He took someone's wife and killed the person's husband. Yeah. Can you imagine? David, the sweet psalmist, the guy who loved God and was singing for God, hey, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. Hey. The man after God's own heart. The man after God's own heart had a problem. He took someone's wife and killed the person. Do you understand? And he couldn't. The Bible says that the sin that he did dried his bones. He was so broken and so shaken that in a moment of weakness, he had done something that was so terrible. And as he was talking to God, he had to even pay for it. He paid in a certain way. He judged himself. Yeah. I tell you. But in the midst of that, God showed him a vision. In the midst of his problem, and in the midst of he asking God to forgive him, and he asking God to help him, God showed him a vision of us. It's in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 4, verse 7. Romans chapter 4, verse 7. Let's go back. Go back to verse 6. It says, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Let's read a lighter verse so we can understand. This is the vision God showed David in the midst of his problem. So you need to know what has happened so that in the midst of your problem, you know what to do. I'm showing this thing so that if something should happen, you know how to go forward. Or if nothing happens and you are doing all the good things and the devil is telling you that all the good things are not enough, you will know what to also do. Because you can be, your conscience can condemn you for not reading 5 chapters. Why didn't you read 5 chapters? Why didn't you fast last week? This thing is not happening in your life because you didn't fast the last time. Yeah, you'll be surprised. This thing happened because you didn't do your quiet time. The money you're asking for is not coming because you see, you didn't not pray much. You didn't pray for 1 hour. So, you didn't pray in English, you prayed in tongues. The devil can use anything to try to get anything. You'll be shocked. Can we read this together? One, two, go. David also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. Without what? Working for it. Next verse. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Have you seen it? It says their disobedience is forgiven and their sins are put out of sight. All for you, yes. Message from verse what? Message from verse 6. Is it from verse 7? 6, yeah. Let's read it together. One to go. David confirms this way of looking at it, saying that the one who trusts God to do the putting everything right without insisting on having a say in it is one fortunate man. You are a fortunate person. Next verse. Fortunate those who crimes are carted off, whose sins are wiped clean from the slate. Their sins are wiped clean. If it's wiped clean, why are you still remembering it? If it's wiped clean, why are you allowing the devil to remind you? Why are you allowing your conscience to remind you? When your conscience tries to remind you, it has two purposes. It is to let you feel so bad. You don't want to company with God and with his people. And also to let you feel and remember the feeling, the pleasure of sin, the taste, the nice 5 seconds, the nice 5 minutes. The nice sin is the pleasure of sin is just for some few seconds. Always for some few seconds. And for a season. Before long, the wages come. The payments come, which is death, comes. Do you get it? The devil keep reminding you. Do you remember how nice? That's why drug addicts keep going back to it. A drug addict can be freed if he gets to know this. If he gets to know this preaching I'm preaching to you, he will forget it. And he'll be able to move on by the help of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Whenever the devil is trying to remind you of what you did, hey, cut him off quickly. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's off. Hey, my friend, you can't remind me. Jesus was punished for it. Sometimes he reminds you of how that you are supposed to be punished for what you did. Remind him that Jesus was punished for it. Jesus was punished for my disobedience. He says, blessed are those whose disobedience is what? Is forgiven. Jesus was punished, therefore I was forgiven. Remind your conscience, remind the devil. So important. Blood is an evidence of death. Jesus' blood is an evidence of the fact that death has already occurred. The wages of sin is death, and death has already occurred. Punishment and judgment has already come. There's no need for me to be punished anymore. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? Now, go back to Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10. Let me show it to you. We've not read verse 8. Let's read verse 8. Sorry, verse 8. Romans 4, verse 8 now. It says, fortunate The person against whom the Lord does not keep score. The Lord does not keep a score anymore. There's no scorecard that God is keeping against you anymore. Your iniquity, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. David saw it and saw that, hey, there are some people coming that God does not keep a score against. And God puts righteousness into the account when they have not done anything. Yes.
Sometimes you feel, I've committed an abortion before and I've done it again. So you are keeping score, but you don't remember that God does not keep score. Yes.
And as long as you keep score, you keep going back to it. Sin, guilt and condemnation is the mother of sin. It's the mother of putting you more and more into sin. Oh yes. It's the mother of putting you more and more into sin. That's a problem that Christians are dealing with. Yeah.
That is why after breaking your virginity, you feel there is nothing to keep because you keep remembering you've broken your virginity.
And then you keep more boys. You have more boys having access. Because you feel so guilty. Can you imagine? God doesn't want you to be guilty. So he made Jesus die as your guilty offering. When Jesus died, your guilt died. When Jesus died, your condemnation died. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10. Let's read it so that we can do our specific. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Sorry, 53, verse 10. Not 54, 53, verse 10. Can we read it together? One to go. He has put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Have you seen it? Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he has put him to grief. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin. Can you imagine that the word offering for sin, the word offering there is the offering of the trespass offering, the trespass offering. The Hebrew word is asham. It's the same word, guilt offering. Uh-huh. This YLT, Young's Literal Translation. Let's read it together. One to go. And Jehovah has delighted to bruise him. He has made him sick. If his soul does make an offering for guilt, he seeth his soul. You see, his soul, he made his soul an offering for guilt. So Jesus died as our offering, our guilt offering. Do you understand? He died as what? Our guilt offering. That's what Jesus died as our guilt. So when Jesus died, your guilt died. This one is difficult to understand. It's difficult. It's difficult to believe. But if you believe, it will help you. God doesn't want you to feel bad when something happens. All of our lives, we have been told that we should feel bad. We even think that the Holy Spirit convicts us of being bad. The Holy Spirit does not have a job of convicting you of sin. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of their sin of disobeying and not receiving Jesus Christ. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, not convicting you, a Christian, of sin. The Holy Spirit, let me show you to John chapter 7. It's in the Bible, I'm not the one saying it. John chapter 7, verse what? John 7, John 16, verse 7. John 16, verse 7. It is expedient for you. Jesus said, it is expedient for you that I go away. Now, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when the Comforter comes, he will, next verse, verse 8. And when he's come, he will reprove the world, not you Christians, the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Next verse. Then it says, of sin because they believe not on me. The sin is that they don't believe on me. That's the sin that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of. They do not believe on me. Look at the next verse. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. So righteousness, the Holy Spirit convicts Christians of righteousness. Because I go to a car and you my disciples, you my people, see me no more. He will convict you of righteousness. The Holy Spirit reminds you that, hey, brother, you are the righteousness of God. Brother, you are the righteousness of God. Brother, you are the righteousness of God. Brother, you are the right sister, you are the righteousness of God. Why are you feeling bad about this? Why are you going down in sin? You are the righteous. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to you, to convict you of right, to convict you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Holy Spirit is a witness of all that happened on the cross. He's a witness of the fact that Jesus was punished for everything. And he's a witness of the fact that Jesus was raised so that you will be declared not guilty as proof of your righteousness. And his job is to remind you that you are the righteousness of God. It's in Hebrews chapter 10. Jesus is a witness. Sorry, the Holy Spirit is a witness of all that happened on the cross. Hey, do you like my message or don't like my message? You are shocked. Verse 14, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. For by one offering, Jesus has perfected forever them that are sanctified. So as you are sitting here, you are perfected forever. Your conscience cannot change that perfection. Remember, in the Old Testament, their sacrifices could not make them perfect as concerning their conscience. Remember, chapter 9, verse 9. Hebrews 9, 9. Remember this. Which was a figure for them that the present which the offered both gifts and sacrifice that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining the conscience. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
But in chapter 10, what we're reading just a few minutes ago. Chapter 10, verse what? Verse 14. Look at chapter 10, verse 13. It says, for by Jesus' one offering, he has now perfected forever those that are sanctified. That is you and I. Jesus has now perfected you forever. Hey. Then, next verse. Look at the next verse. He says, whereof, of this perfection, the Holy Ghost is also a witness to us. The Holy Ghost is a witness of all that happens, and he reminds us of what has happened. For after that he had said before, next verse, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. This is the witness of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't remember your sins and iniquities anymore. He doesn't remember your sins and your iniquities anymore. You should not remember. Jesus is the offering for our guilt and our condemnation. And because of that, now we are perfected. Chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 14. Look at this. He says, how much more shall the blood of Christ? We are talking about the blood of Jesus, the blood of God. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your what?
Conscience.
Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. It purges your conscience from dead works. Oh, when you do this, you sinned. You must make sure that you punish yourself for this sin. That's what your conscience will tell you. You have not repented enough. You have not what? You have not repented enough. Jesus has come by his blood to purge our conscience from dead works, so that we can serve the living God without any problem. That is why Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Actually, that part is not part of the verse, but let's add it. There is therefore now no condemnation. The word no, you see, in every part of the Bible, in the Greek, almost everywhere, the word no is ou. Okay, and it means not. No. That's what it means. But this particular one is not only ou, it's udis. It's ou and heis put together. Heis is one. Heis means one. So it's two words, ou and this. Ou and heis put together to make udis. If you like, you can check it in your, it's udis. And what udis means, not one, not a single one. So no one, not one. So this is how it should read. There's therefore now not one, not even one condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. When you're in Christ Jesus, there's not even one condemnation against you. There's not even one guilt against you. Why? Because Jesus, your guilt offering, has died and has sacrificed himself for you.
Hallelujah.
It's too much. Yeah. Why? Why did God do all these things? Not so that you can keep fooling around. for you not to have a single condemnation against you. No. He did this for you so that he can have intimacy with you. So that your conscience will be clear. Are you in the church?
Yes.
So that your conscience will be clear. So that you can serve God without any sense of guilt or condemnation. You can stand before God without any sense of guilt or condemnation or shame. Jesus paid for your shame. Jesus was crucified naked. He was shamed so that you will not be put to shame in your life. He died as your guilt offering so that there will not be even one condemnation against you. The devil can try, but it will not work. You must know it so I can remind the devil that there's not one condemnation against me. I know I did something. I know I did something, but Jesus paid for it. Jesus paid for it. I know I missed it. I missed it, but Jesus paid. Jesus was punished for me so that I'll not be punished. Jesus was my guilt offering. I refuse to live under guilt for 7 years. Some people have lived under guilt for 7 years, for 5 years, because of something they did. The devil keeps reminding them day in and day out, and they can't have sweet fellowship with God. You can't experience the presence of God because you feel when you are trying, when you are praying in tongues and talking to the Lord and speaking in tongues, then the devil will remind you, hey, brah, do you remember? Do you know what you did the last time? One of my daughter's favorite words now is, do you know? She'll call you, daddy, daddy, daddy. When you say yes, you say, do you know? The devil will also ask you, do you know? Do you remember? Do you remember what you did? My sins and iniquities, will he remember? No more. There's not even one condemnation against me. Not one. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 33, look at Romans 8, 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Let's read lighter version so we can understand. NLT. Can we read it together? Who dares? Who dares? Who dares? Who dares? Is it your conscience? Is it the devil? He has silenced the devil. He has silenced your conscience. Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? Who? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with him. He has given us right standing with him. He has given us right standing with him. On the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ. Who dares accuse whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Next, verse 34. Verse 34. Let's read it together. One to go. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us. How did he die for you? He died for you as your guilt and condemnation offering, so that no one can condemn you, including your conscience and the devil. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. So even when you are feeling guilty, he's there telling the devil, my friend, you know, I died for him. I died for her. What do you mean that you are coming to accuse her? Accuse him before me. What do you mean? How dare you? He's standing, sitting on the right hand of power, ensuring that his work is accomplished in your life, ensuring that his work is confirmed in your life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John 2, verse 1. Oh, I like this. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. Yeah, I'm writing this, so I don't sin. So it's not trying to promote sin. We are not trying to promote sin. No, far from it. We are trying to let you know that sin has been paid for and sin should not be a problem anymore. Sin has no dominion over you. So you may do something, or he says, this is right, so that you sin not. Then he says, and if something should happen, this is the cure. If something should happen, if any man should sin, remember that we have a lawyer. We have a lawyer. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We have someone at the right hand called Jesus Christ, and he's the righteous. And it is his righteousness that is our righteousness. Yeah. Who is the propitiation for our sins? He's the propitiation. He's the mercy seat for our sins. He's the payment for our sins. He's the high priest who does the payment for us, and he's already sacrificed himself. Not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. When you sleep, sleep. The one who has paid for the sin is now the lawyer. He did it himself. What is your problem? There's not one condemnation against you. Not one. Not one. I think you should be a very happy child of God. Yeah, because when you're trying to live, when you're trying to live for God, you are trying to do something for the Lord, you see that the devil starts accusing you. Hey, you are singing the choir. You are playing the keyboard. That's what playing. The devil reminds you, hey, do you remember what you did? Do you remember? After touching the keyboard. And the devil reminds you, hey, do you remember? Do you remember what you were touching last night or last 2 nights? And then you go up, bing, 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 bing. Hey! Has it happened to you before? Has it happened to you before? I'm glad I'm a child of God. I will never fail in my life. I will serve God all my life. I am free. Jesus has done all these things. So that, number one, I can have intimacy with him. Unbroken fellowship. Unbroken intimacy. No matter what happens, my fellowship with him cannot be broken. And number two, so that I can serve him. Yes. So that I can serve him. So that I can serve the living God. So that we can serve the living God. Remember, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Because as you're serving the Lord, the devil will remind you. Tell the devil, please, I know. But this is my payment. Jesus the righteous is my payment. He paid for it. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, how much more shall he purge, his blood purge your conscience from dead works? For what purpose? To serve the living God. So that you can serve God. So that you can be an instrument that God can use without any limitation. As long as your conscience is condemning you, it may not work. Look at 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. 1 John 3, 20. Let's read NLT so that we can understand it. It's if your conscience, that's the job of the conscience. Yeah. But the Lord has perfected you. Yes. Can we read it together? One, two, go. We feel guilty. God is greater than our feelings. And he knows everything. Are you seeing it in the Bible? You are surprised. Let's read it together once again. One, two, go. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings. And he knows everything. Next verse, verse 21. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. So he wants you to come to him with bold confidence all the time. That's why he died for as your guilt offering. Verse 22. Go to verse 22. NLT. One to go. And we will receive from him whatever we ask because we obey him and do the things that please him. How do you obey him and do the things that please him? By not feeling guilty. Yes. Because he paid us your guilt offering. He paid us your guilt offering. Oh. So you can have whatever you ask. Wow. Believing is not faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. That is believing. Believing is what pleases him. That's what pleases him. Oh. That's what pleases him. He doesn't want you to walk in doubt. In condemnation, in guilt. You can't please him. In works, I need to do this and do that so that I can be fine before him. No, it is your faith that pleases him. It's your believing that believe in the fact that he's your guilt offering and he has paid for it. Case closed. What a Jesus. You need to listen to this message over and over and over and over and over and over. And over. Listen, it has helped me. What I'm preaching to you, it has helped me a great deal. It will help you to serve God. It will help you to go with God all the way. All the way to the end. If you don't understand what I'm telling you, you can't go all the way. You can't go all the way. No. This is what? Romans 14, 23. You're trying to say, faith, whatever is not of faith is sin. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 10. Let me show you Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, 19. Can we read it together? One to go. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. Next verse. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy. Do you know the curtain? The curtain is actually his flesh. The King James mentions that his body was a curtain that was torn in order for us to go. Because he's God. His flesh was covering the most holy of holies, which was inside him. So when his body was torn, when his body was broken, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. His flesh was covering the glory. When he died, the flesh was taken away. His body was broken so that the presence of God inside will be made available to us. Next verse. Let's read NLT. One to go. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him, fully trusting what he has done, fully trusting him. Next, continue. One to go. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. Baltic, Baltic. Our guilty conscience have been sprinkled with what?
With blood.
With Christ's blood. Your guilty conscience has been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. If the blood of goats and an heifer sprinkling upon the unclean made him, purged him, how much more the blood of Jesus Christ? I don't know which one. Is the blood of Jesus Christ more powerful than that of goats and bulls? If the blood of goats and bulls could make those guys clean. Chapter 9, that's chapter 9, verse 13. Chapter 9, it says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the... Let's read that. Let's read the lighter version. We don't understand. If that sprinkling made them go away with a pure, make them clean, pure conscience, how much more? Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a young cow could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. It could cleanse them. It could clean them. Then he says, how much more? Next verse. Verse 14. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. If blood of goats and bulls could do that, how much more shall the blood of Jesus Christ purify our consciences? It says our evil conscience has been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. So when your conscience tries to connect, hey, brah, blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. No. Your conscience tries to remind you, hey, blood of Jesus. You can take communion. You can take communion. Communion is a good way to remember yourself, to remind yourself. Yeah. No. I refuse to remember my past. I refuse to remember the taste of the sin. I refuse to remember. Oh, I know. I refuse to remember. It is the remembrance that pushes you in all the time. That's the truth. That is the truth. It is the remembrance that pushes you down all the time. You'll be lying in your bed. The devil brings a thought in your mind and you start meditating on it. Start meditating. Hey, 5 years ago, I stole this. 3 years ago, I thought I'd change. 3 years ago, I did the same thing. Last year, I thought I'd change. The same thing happened again. I'm not sure I will ever be okay. I'm not sure I'll ever be okay. Yesterday, I did it again. Oh. How will I be free? When will I be free of this? When will I be free of this? I don't think I'll ever be free of this. I've been going to church, but nothing is happening. I've been praying, but nothing is happening. Is the power of God even working in my life? Oh, God, please help me. Can God even help me? I don't think God can help me. The devil throws into your mind. Yes, he can help you. This is how you were born. This is how you are. You have known it. I have also known it all this while. You will never get any better. You see, the church going did not do much. The last time you fasted for this to go away, but it has not gone. Even fasting cannot cure it. You better embrace it. You have to embrace who you are. You have to embrace who you are. Man, know thyself. This is how you are. It's okay. The pornography, that you can never stop it. This is how you are. The fornication, you can never stop it. That is who you are. I mean, that's how it has been all this while. So just embrace it. Just embrace it. It's fine. Okay? And then you say, okay. Then he reminds you of how good it felt. How nice it felt. It was very nice. Do you remember? When you stole that money, you remember how difficult it was for you? You didn't have money and you got that money, you stole that 5,000. You see the way you chilled. Steal it again. Steal it again. Go for the next bet. You need to do the next bet. This time you will win.
Win more.
Then you become addicted. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 10. John 8, 10. Remembering that you have been, God has paid for your condemnation, and God does not condemn you. It's what is the key to empowering you to overcome sin, to overcome repeating things in your life. This woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. When she came to Jesus, some people had brought her to Jesus. They were going to stone her to death. Jesus told the people, if you have not sinned, then you should be the first person to cast a stone. The people dropped they dropped their stones. The Bible says, from the eldest to the youngest. The consciousness is that as you grow older, your sins reduce. But these verses show us that as you grow older, your sins get worse. Because it's the older people who drop their stones first. They had a greater consciousness of their sin. If you don't deal with guilt and condemnation, it will get worse as you grow. It will not get better as you grow. It will get worse as you grow. This is verse 9, 8, John 8, 9. And they which had it being convicted of their own conscience, by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. What did Jesus do? When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those that accuse us? Today God is asking you, where are those who accuse us? Where is the accuser of the brethren, the devil? And where is your conscience that accuses you? These people are accused by their conscience. They drop the stone and left. Jesus has paid for your conscience to be cleared. His blood is sprinkling your conscience so that you can fellowship with God. Where are those that accuse us? Has no man condemned you? Next verse. She said, no man. I pray that today you can be able to say that no man can condemn me. No man is condemning me. No devil is condemning me. My conscience is not condemning me. Yes. No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn you. God has not condemned you. Because as for God, he has seen the offering. He was there when it was happening. Your guilt has died because Jesus, your guilt offering, died. It says, neither do I condemn you. On the basis of knowing that you are not condemned, go and sin no more. When you know how you are not condemned, you will go and sin no more. So your job, Jesus has provided it. God has made the provision of Jesus as your guilt offering. Believe it. Receive it for yourself. Agree with it. So that it can work in your life. That's the grace of God. Your job is to receive what Jesus has done. That's all. And the power of sin will be broken in your life. The power of addiction will be broken in your life. The power of all the errors will be broken in your life. Stand up and thank him for what he has shared with you.
God bless you for listening. We pray that the word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app, plug in, and enjoy God's word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless.